This is a Zach Feldman Show replay on ZRadioLive.com.
The web music station Z Radio Live. This is the Zach Feldman Show. Joining me over the phone is an author. He's been on the air with us before, but he has a brand new book out called God's Existence, Deeper Thoughts for Greater Insights. It's Gary Lindberg. Gary, thanks so much for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show. How's everything going?
Well, thank you, Zach, for having me again. I've been looking forward to it since we had a good conversation last time.
Hell yeah, yeah.
And I think this is an important book, so I'm looking forward to sharing it with you.
And I'm excited to talk to you about it too. Tell me about God's Existence. What's this all about?
Well, I have two books, called God's Existence, Truth or Fiction, The Answer Revealed. That was my very first book. And the second book, similar, was God's Existence, Deeper Thoughts for Greater Insights. So that's the book we're talking about today. And basically, it's a book where I'm exploring various ideas about controversies in the books of Genesis and Exodus in the Old Testament.
That's incredible. What were some of your findings that you were digging deep into?
Well, I'm asking some basic questions. I'm not just trying to say what I think. I'm trying to investigate what is really the truth. And I allowed my mind to explore some of these controversies that I bring up, and do it without being restricted by church teachings or Christian theology or whatever. I wanted to let my mind freely examine it and try to find some more truth in it.
Yeah, I mean, so something.
Example: I ask, does evolution actually contradict the Bible, or is it a tool that God used to in His creation?
Yeah, and last time we were talking too. You were talking about the fact that you're using scientific studies and science to kind of come to these conclusions too. Are you still doing that with this book too?
Yes, because I want to. The idea was for me to explore more deeply certain concepts like evolution, and then I talk about these controversies and. I want to know, did God write the Old Testament or even the whole Bible? Of course, no, He didn't. So who wrote it? Well, people wrote it. Well, then why did they write the Old Testament? I get into exploring that.
That's so fascinating. And I want to know
because there was a reason for them writing the Old Testament. When I read the book by... Israel Finkelstein and Neil Asher Silverman in their book, The Bible Unearthed. And they made note of the fact that there were a lot of different Jewish, or I should say Israeli sects in three or 4,000 years ago. And they were all coming up with different ideas. And what the writers of the book in the Old Testament were trying to unite all those different views into one united people. And by and large, the two authors concluded that they accomplished that goal. And I saw no evidence to indicate that wasn't true. And, I saw even a parallel that the Old Testament was trying to justify itself. Well, what was the New Testament doing? It was trying to justify itself too. And the Christians were trying to prove that they were a valid group of people too. And I thought that was rather interesting, but I didn't get into that issue in the book. I was focusing on the Old Testament, but there are other issues. What about, how do we think about story of Adam and Eve? What do we think about the missing people that are not mentioned in the Bible? For example, Cain killed his brother Abel and was exiled to the land of Nod. Well, there he found a wife and married her and had children. Mm-hmm. They don't name the wife. They do name the several children. And how about those people that lived 900 years? Did they really live 900 years? I go and discuss that. No, I don't think they did. And I get into the reasons why.
And, that's incredible.
I talk about even the Great Flood. Did that really happen? I give my take on that, and I even talk about, well, was Moses real? And did the Exodus really happen? And if it did happen, when did it happen? And who was the Pharaoh? It wasn't Ramesses.
Wow. You know, I mean, you did all your research too for this book. How long did it take you to do the research, you know, fully to finally say, okay, this is ready to publish?
Well, I wrote it over a year. I don't know the precise timetable, but it took a while. And because I was reading other books and trying to get more background information about it, so that when I did present it, I wanted to have some background and knowledge about it, and mm-hmm. not just to say things off the top of my head. That isn't very good research. I majored in history, and so I have to follow up with a decent research.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, and you followed up with it pretty well, because you know, you got a lot of people reading it. You got a lot of people like asking questions too about, you know, about your findings. And it's very fascinating about, you know, about the things you've been asking, you know, in terms of like, you know, like Adam and Eve and the Great Flood too. You know, I mean, these are just stories that we've heard for our entire lives, you know, but what made you want to question this in the first place?
Well, that goes back to my first book.
Yeah.
And first of all, I started having thoughts that other people didn't have. And I asked myself, well, who created the Bible? Well, the Bible was created by God because he created, he inspired people to write it and organize it. Well, then I asked myself, who created science? Well, then it was clear to me that God created science because he created the universe and all that's in it. Well, as I think I previously mentioned, excuse me, if God created the Bible and science, it must be pretty compatible. They can't be opposites, as a lot of Christians and even scientists try to portray. And so when I was in high school, it was, and as a sophomore, it was time for me to take biology. Well, when I started to think about biology, I asked other students what was entailed. Mm-hmm. And they told me that what was entailed was cutting up frogs, and that didn't excite me. And so I took botany instead. Well, as I think I indicated, when I took botany, I learned a very important lesson. That lesson was that all plant life is well organized in seven levels of categories. Kingdom, phylum, order, down to the most specific levels of species. Well, interestingly enough, later in life, I learned that all animal life is also classified that way. Well, if all plant life and all animal life are that well organized, that indicates intent to me. That indicates direction. So that's why I say it can't happen by accident. It can't happen by random, mm-hmm. even evolution. It has to happen by design. That means there's a God. And so then people said, well, there's no evidence that God exists. Well, I wanted to find out for myself. And so I examined it more thoroughly. And so I did get into evolution. But when you get into evolution, I found out that there were 13 different human species that existed. We're all familiar with Neanderthals and Cro-Magnons and Homo erectus and Homo sapiens, and there are many more. Well, I noticed that over time, all those different species became extinct one by one. Well, until we only have today one species left, and that species is the Homo, officially the Homo sapiens sapiens. That's what we're called. So, but there was more to evolution than that, and I wanted to see what people, if that happened, then God created multiple people in those different species. Mm-hmm. So when you come to he did all this before Adam and Eve were supposedly living. And so when Adam and Eve were supposedly born, were they the only humans born? No, they weren't the only humans born, because there was a people in the land of Nod. We know that Cain married a woman. Well, it wasn't his sister. It wasn't his mother. It wasn't his daughter. It was, and if he's going to have a daughter, who's the wife? So, you know, it has to be another group of people all at the same time. So that tells me that the Adam and Eve may not have been the original people, or maybe they were, but they weren't the only original people.
Yeah. You know,
and if they weren't the only original people, then there were others. And that's why I don't believe that God allowed incest or people to intermarry in their families. They married outside their families, mm-hmm. because God had created people for them. And yeah. So, and did they live 900 years? No, I don't think they lived 900 years. They lived a normal lifetime, 70, 80, maybe 90, once in a while, a little older years. And that's what reality was. Well, that brings up the definition of what is a year. Mm-hmm. How did they define a year? How did those ancient people 3,000-4,000 years ago define a year? Did they define it as we do? I don't think so. We've had several calendars since then. Mm. Julius Caesar changed the calendar. And we're using not the Caesar calendar. We're using the Gregorian calendar today. We've already changed the calendar several times. So what calendar did they use? Did they use harvests as their timetable?
Well, I think they used the sun. That was a completely different situation. But I want to ask you, about this too, because I mean, you have a lot of skeptics out there too, who when they're reading this book too, they're either questioning, what they believe in, or they're agreeing with you, depending. Obviously, right. Everybody's gonna have their own opinions on this subject too. Sure. But what's been your response when people are talking about, these are stories to help, make you a better person, rather than trying to be fiction.
I think that's exactly right. I think the purpose of the Bible entirely is to teach us how to live a more righteous life. Mm-hmm. It's teaching us how to live better. The Ten Commandments doesn't tell you what happened in 2006 BC. It doesn't tell you science. It doesn't tell you history. It tells you behavior. Don't kill. Don't steal. All those are behaviors in the Ten Commandments. Then you have Jesus come along, and he's preaching pretty much the same kinds of things. It's all behavior. And all that history, all that science are nonsense. Now, perhaps in the Old Testament, the story of Ruth, who was my mother's favorite biblical character, was not a real story. Perhaps the story of Esther was not a real story. Maybe they were made up stories. It doesn't matter. You can't prove it one way or the other necessarily, I think. And the value of the story is to teach a lesson, not to worry about whether it was true or not.
It's so interesting, and it's fascinating that you've done the research for this, and you've created this book and got it out there too. When you're talking about, obviously, specifically religion, Are you focusing when you were doing this research, were you focusing on a specific religion, or were you trying to focus on all the religions?
I'm not trying to focus on religion at all. I'm just trying to find the truth. I have a fairly good science background. I studied sciences when I was young, and I studied math up through and including calculus. So I took calculus, and I saw in calculus you can calculate an answer to a mathematical problem in several ways. Mm-hmm. So that broadens my horizon to look at the science and the all the ideas about the Bible in more than one way. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to offer, is to try to see what really is the truth, not what people want to believe or people are programmed to believe. Mm-hmm. That's not helpful to solving the problem.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's not. And you know, all it does is it gives you false hope in the end, right?
Yeah, I think so. You're right. It gives false hope. And I don't believe in the some fundamental Christians saying that the Bible, you have to follow it literally. Because I start with the book of Genesis. It isn't literal to start with. It's a false statement. When you look at Genesis, you look at the first verse is the God created the heavens, that's plural, mm-hmm. and earth. Now, what are the heavens? The heavens are the universe, the solar systems, and the planets. In that order, that's what God did. The scientists have already figured out that the universe is 13.8 billion years old. Our Milky Way universe, or solar system, is 4.67 billion years old. And our Earth is 4.54 billion years old. Well, those numbers themselves tell you that God created the whole universe first, then he created solar systems. And ours wasn't the first solar system created. He waited 13.7 billion to 4.67 billion years to create the Milky Way universe. Then he waited a little bit longer when he started creating the planets before he created the Earth. So we're not the first. They created other parts of the universe before he created us.
Listen, so, that
part of the equation is there. Mm. Now look at what the rest of Genesis 1.
Yeah.
excuse me. It says that God created, he said, let there be light. Mm-hmm. And there was light, and it was good the first day. That's kind of how it went. Day four, God created the sun and the stars. That is a contradiction to verse one. If there's light, God says, let there be light. How does he get light? He got light because he already created the sun. Not after. He didn't create it on the fourth day. He created it first. God is not a magician, and he isn't a haphazard idiot. He had an exact plan of how to create. He took it step by step by step in logical order.
Yeah.
And he did that because that's the way he functions. And when you see that the book of Genesis isn't a science book. It's an estimate of people 4,000 years ago. I don't know what the exact timeline it was written, but it was written so many years ago. They didn't have the knowledge of planets and science the way we have. They didn't even know we lived on a planet, let alone about planets. Mm-hmm. And so how can they know this story except that somebody had to tell them? And that's where the inspiration of God comes in. But the point is that the first chapter of Genesis is an outline of creation. It's a kind of a step-by-step version of what was how creation happened. Now, you know, there are two stories of creation in Genesis. Chapter 2, verse 4, starts to explain the second theory of creation, or the second story of creation. But that story, which I believe was written first, only talks about a few little details about this was done before this or that was done or something. It didn't get the facts really correct.
Yeah.
And
100%.
And then it focuses on mostly Adam and his descendants.
Yeah. Well, listen.
And that's not what the Bible, and I submit that Bible, story was written first, but then the writers after that figured out that wasn't a very good story, and that didn't promote Christianity or they weren't promoting Christianity. They're promoting the Israeli point of view, and that didn't support that point of view. So they rewrote the story, and then because the story was better and more complete, they used that first and put the second story of creation second, because it's still expanded on the creation of humans.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and that's what my theory is.
That's awesome. And, you know, and it's exciting for people to read that and check it out. Again, it's called God's Existence, Deeper Thoughts for a Greater Insight. Gary Lindberg, you know, for those who want to follow you online, what's the website? Look, what's the website they can go to?
My website is GaryRLindberg.com.
Awesome.
That's GaryRLindberg.com.
Very cool.
Don't forget the middle initial, because you won't get it otherwise.
And before you go, you know, obviously, I want to ask, you know, what's next for you?
Well, what's next for me is trying to promote my three books, and so that I'm focusing on that.
Awesome, that's great. Well, Gary, thanks again for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show. Best of luck with everything. It's always great to have you on and discuss this with you too, because it's always so fascinating to hear your insights on it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you taking time to talk to me. It's been a pleasure, and I'll look forward to another time when you might want to talk.
Awesome. I can't wait. Well, you've been listening to the Zach Feldman Show. We'll see you in a few minutes here with some more interviews here on the Webster Music Station, Z Radio Live. Back with more Zach Feldman Show right after this.
Want to hear more? Listen to the Zach Feldman Show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on ZRadioLive.com.